You are listening to The Morning Magazine for Monday, July 26th. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we'll visit the studio of a local video creator to learn about the increasingly popular ASMR genre of relaxation content online. We'll also be giving you an audio test through your radio to see if you get the ASMR tingles. And our friends at CityCast Denver look at the Delta variant in Colorado. At the bottom of the hour, we'll hear the latest Jim Hightower commentary just after the BBC headlines. And then it's a public affair with the Community Foundation of Boulder County. Today's edition looks at the status of land recovery in the wake of last year's wildfires. And as always on Monday morning, it's Counterspin at 9 a.m., a look at fairness and accuracy in reporting. But first, we'll hear the headlines with KGNU's Jamie Sudler.
A pool of funds has been opened to provide support for people looking to host events that promote healing from the harm of the mass shooting on March 22nd at the Table Mesa King Supers in Boulder. The Community Foundation of Boulder County will administer the $100,000 pool for community-centric events. The Daily Camera reports that the announcement of the fund comes about 6 weeks after calls by a group named Stand Up Boulder demanded the appointment of a special master to help distribute public donations that were made for victims. The group had said that the donations are not being handled transparently. The opening date for proposals for grants from the fund started on July 15th, with all types of applications under consideration. The money will be awarded on a rolling basis until it runs out or through December 30th. Grants are not limited to established organizations or nonprofits. The state of Colorado has a stockpile of more than 350,000 doses of COVID-19 vaccines, which need to be administered in 2 months or they will expire. The Denver Post reports that it will be quite a challenge to get the vaccines into arms as fewer people are getting inoculated each week. Governor Jared Polis and other officials say they expect the doses will be used before they go to waste, even as other countries where they are having surges in infections are still lacking the vaccine. The governor says that the stockpile here in Colorado contains mostly second doses that are needed for people who received their initial shots developed by Pfizer and Moderna. The State Department of Health says it has already donated more than 300,000 doses of the coronavirus vaccines to the federal pool that was allocated but not shipped to the state. Just under 50,000 doses were given last week in Colorado, and the rate of decrease in the number of administrations of vaccines is slowing down. Of nearly 5 million people in the state eligible for vaccines, more than 1.3 million have not yet been inoculated. The Larimer County Board of Commissioners is set to vote this evening on new regulations for future oil and gas facilities. An advocacy group called the Larimer Alliance for Health, Safety, and the Environment said in a release that they plan to appear at the public hearing to educate the public and ensure that local and state governments implement policies that prioritize the protection of public health and safety in addition to environmental quality. The coalition of citizens and groups say they have expressed concerns over problems with the draft regulations, including setbacks, operations on public conservation lands, and air quality, among others. The Coloradoan reports that the county has worked for months on new rules for permitting of oil and gas operations since the state legislature gave more control to local governments over future developments. Tonight's meeting of the Larimer County Commissioners begins at 6:30 at the county courthouse. The body of a second person was located yesterday by authorities in debris left by a mudslide after flooding last Tuesday in Poudre Canyon west of Fort Collins. The Larimer County Sheriff's Office said that they could not confirm that the man was one of three people known to be missing. Officials have been searching for two men and a woman who are still listed as missing. The flooding and a mudslide destroyed six houses northwest of Fort Collins. A woman's body was found Wednesday, and on Saturday, the floodwaters had receded to where crews became able to reach new areas that had been submerged. In addition to human victims, the flooding has had an impact on fish in the Poudre River. Colorado Parks and Wildlife told CBS4 that fish are suffocating because of the water is thick and with debris and extra sediment made up of dirt and ash. Last evening, downtown Boulder was drenched with almost 2.25 inches of rain in about 90 minutes. And according to the National Weather Service, the intersection of Balsam Avenue and 9th Street was flooded, as were some basements in the downtown area. In today's weather, it will be sunny with highs in the low 90s and a small chance of afternoon storms and showers. Tomorrow, sunny and 94. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Have you heard of ASMR? KGNU's Hannah Lee Myers visited the studio of a popular local ASMR video creator to discuss what ASMR is and the value those videos provide millions of fans of the genre worldwide. A quick technical note, this story is best heard through headphones or in stereo.
Those are some of the sounds you can expect to encounter in the increasingly popular ASMR video genre online. ASMR stands for
Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response.
That's Cece, an ASMR video creator, also called an ASM artist, from Boulder, Colorado. Cece isn't her real name, but it's the name she goes by on her Dreamscape ASMR YouTube and TikTok channels.
Fantasy ASMR? Like, that is my jam.
Cece started her Dreamscape ASMR channels during the COVID-19 pandemic in early 2021. Now, just a few months later, her channels have become very, very popular.
How many followers do you have on YouTube and how many followers do you have on TikTok?
On YouTube, I have like almost 11,000, and on TikTok, I have 340,000.
That's popular enough to make a full-time living creating ASMR videos. But what is ASMR? Here's how Cece explains it.
I say it's kind of like a guided meditation, but it's often whispered or spoken very softly. And it helps people with stress. It can help you with a lot of things, but I would say most people, it helps them with stress and relaxing.
ASMR videos can include high-quality sound recordings, hypnotizing hand movements, calming story-like role plays, or all of the above. For some, these videos trigger an ASMR effect, described as a tingly, pleasant feeling originating in the back of the head or neck. And while not everyone gets the ASMR tingles, a larger number of people still find the videos relaxing, especially in times of stress. That was the case for Cece.
ASMR really pulled me out of a dark time in my life, and I was going through a lot of depression, anxiety, night panic attacks, insomnia, and when I discovered, or I really started getting into ASMR, it completely took all that away. Like, my anxiety completely went away when I started listening to ASMR. And at some point, I just thought, you know, I'd really like to do for other people what this has done for me.
It's estimated that there are well over 13 million ASMR videos on YouTube alone. Considering many of those videos are between 30 minutes and many hours long, that's a lot of free, calming content available for anyone who could benefit from some relaxation. Here's Cece again.
It can be instant relief. And, you know, it's not, you don't have to take a medication, you don't have to go to a doctor. You, like, anyone can try this and for free. I have some friends who, they have ADHD and it's the only thing that helps them focus during work, and they listen to it all day at work, and it helps them stay focused and calm, especially if they have really stressful jobs.
ASMR is such a new concept, there hasn't been much research on it to date. But in 2018, a study published in the journal PLOS ONE, which included 110 participants, around 50 of which experienced ASMR, found the people who did show a positive reaction to ASMR experienced a drop in heart rate by 3.31 beats per minute while watching ASMR videos. According to the paper, as a mental health tool, that puts ASMR video watching above most mindfulness acceptance-based interventions for anxiety. Cece says ASMR provides a type of mental health care she's happy to be a part of.
I have a couple videos, especially on TikTok. I have a whole playlist and a little bit on YouTube as well of talking about panic attacks, grief, things like that, comforting you through like negativity. And I receive comments like, hey, my husband just passed away last week and this is the only thing that's helping me. Or I was really suffering with panic attacks and like I woke up and found this video and this really helped me. So it's really fulfilling to get those comments and just feel like I'm making an impact. I made a video about someone was like, this was on TikTok. They said, I was adopted into an abusive household. Can you make a video and comfort me? And I did. And this person reached out and they're like, your videos are the only thing that make me feel safe. And I feel like I have like an older sister in you, sort of. So, cause my audience is a bit younger on TikTok. So, yeah, it's just like, that's been really cool for me.
So, do you experience ASMR? While visiting Cece's recording studio, she demonstrated how she uses some of her props to help people relax and get those ASMR tingles. We'll use audio from part of her prop demonstration as part one of your ASMR test. Note, to truly get the ASMR experience, you should definitely be wearing headphones.
What you got here?
Okay, so I guess we have some spray, we have slime. This is my favorite prop of all time. This is completely solid glass ball, and it makes like interesting, like people love when I tap on this thing. You gotta get some nice makeup brushes for mic brushing and face brushing.
Let's do some mic brushing, if you don't mind.
Okay. There you go. Oh, and then this is a little tiny rain stick or something. I don't know. I just found this somewhere. Yeah, I mean, everybody likes a different thing. So,
the water ones are always good.
Yeah, here, let me put the cork in here. All right.
And here's part two of our little ASMR test. This is a condensed clip of a video from Cece's Dreamscape ASMR YouTube channel, featuring two of the most popular ASMR triggers of all, soft speech and personal attention.
Hey there. I see that you are panicking and not feeling so good right now, so I'm going to sit with you until that panicky feeling goes away. I'm here for you, 100%. So let's just take a couple of deep breaths together, okay? If you have any sort of lavender oil or essential oil you like,
well, did you get those head and neck tingles? Maybe just feel a little bit more relaxed? Again, to really get the experience, you should be wearing headphones and have the video in front of you. The visual triggers like hand movements and seeing the props and backgrounds contribute to the effect. Still not sure if you get ASMR? Think you might hate it? Well, here's what Cece has to say about that.
I actually didn't like ASMR when I was first exposed to it, and I really think there's so many different niches of ASMR, and you just have to find the right lane for you, because there's so many types of ASMR. You have, you know, triggers, no talking, you have a lot of stuff that I like to do is like the character videos. There's, you know, stuff specifically for anxiety and panic attacks. Just tapping is a huge category, and the stuff I was exposed to first was a lot of tapping, which I'm not a huge fan of. I think also with it, you have to find the right creator too, because I have some creators that I really like and I get like the tingling sensation from, and others I don't and I get kind of an annoyed sensation from. So yeah, when I first was exposed to it, I didn't particularly care for it. And then I came across it again and I just fell in love with it. I found the right creator, the right lane. It just took my anxiety and my insomnia away and I was able to sleep and I was just like, wow, this is so cool.
You can find links to Cece's channel and examples of her videos at news.kgnu.org or just search for Dreamscape ASMR on YouTube or TikTok. For KGNU, I'm Hanalee Myers.
We now turn to our weekly partnership with CityCast Denver. Guest host Donnie L. Betts, whose voice KGNU listeners may recognize from Destination Freedom, Black Radio Days, spoke with epidemiologist Dr. Jonathan Samet about the Delta variant in Colorado.
Even though I'm fully vaccinated, I still get nervous in large crowds. And it's still hard to decide when I should wear a mask or go without it. So in my conversation you're about to hear, I spoke to our guest like I was in his office for a visit, without the threat of a bill.
And locked up in a bedroom because there's grandchild noise going on. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I have puppy noise, so we all good.
Okay. All right.
Dr. Jonathan Samet is an epidemiologist. He's also the dean of the Colorado Public School of Health. So I'm going to do a little intro about my personal relationship with COVID-19. So I'm still afraid of the virus, and I'm still not attending large gatherings. Yet some people are acting like it's never, ever been here. Can you explain to me the big picture, where we're at here in Colorado?
Right. So the big picture is a good and a bad one, and it's mixed. It's as good as it's going to get for a while for those who are vaccinated, and it's bad and reminiscent of where we were for those who are unvaccinated. We have two problems, really. We have a large number of people who aren't vaccinated, and in some parts of our state, that is only a minority of people are vaccinated. The other problem we have is the Delta variant, and that variant is a problem because it's more transmissible by about 50% than the Alpha variant, the one that came from the United Kingdom. And that variant, the Alpha variant, was 50% more transmissible than where we started with the original strains. So right now we've got an aggressive transmissible strain that can still infect a lot of Coloradans.
So I'm fully vaccinated, but should I be concerned? And will I need a booster?
Well, I think the booster question is, it's come up already, of course, and it may come up again. So right now, the existing vaccines are good enough against the Delta variant. They may be a little bit less efficacious, but they are good enough. I think there's a couple questions. One, we don't know how long the immunity is going to last from these vaccines. So, of course, people are being tracked closely. And I suspect we'll all need boosters. The other reason you hear talk about boosters is that maybe variants will come along that are more resistant to vaccines. Well, if that happens, we have the technology to make boosters. This mRNA technology that both the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines use allows for quick changes. But for right now, the vaccines are good against the Delta variant. And then going back to your original question, we'll have to figure out just how long immunity lasts.
So I've been reading a lot about the 1918 pandemic. And one of the things that jumped out to me recently was the lingering effects that happened maybe another 20, 30 years after the height of it, the spike of it. And it's clear at this point that we're not going to be able to wipe out COVID-19 completely. So what can we learn from the 1918 pandemic about how we move forward with living with COVID-19?
So one thing we should have learned from the 1918 pandemic a little better, of course, it was a long time ago, was the need to prevent and how quickly a pandemic can spread. I mean, one lesson from 1918, long before we had air travel, was that infected people sailing across the Atlantic, our soldiers, you know, brought the infection to Europe and their colleagues there. I think there's a couple of long-term things. I think this long COVID problem, that is continued symptoms and not feeling right in people who've had COVID, is going to be a problem. And it's probably going to be perhaps a more severe problem in some ways than the flu, which did leave people's lungs damaged in particular. Studies are underway. They're going to follow people who've had COVID. And I think we will learn what the consequences are, certainly for some who have been really sick in the intensive care units, their lungs are going to be permanently damaged. There's concern about blood vessels in the heart. There's concern about, you know, fatigue and just sort of lasting consequences for well-being. So our National Institutes of Health and others are doing major studies to sort this out. I think one hopefully lasting lesson from both 1918 and the SARS-CoV-2, the COVID-19 pandemic, is we have to be prepared. And we have to try and do things as rapidly as possible to contain organisms that could lead to pandemics.
So I see that Los Angeles recently reimposed a mask order for indoor spaces. Do you think that could happen here in Colorado?
I suspect it won't. You know, I followed the Los Angeles situation pretty carefully, and I know within roughly a week they've reinstituted masks. It is, in many sense, I will say, a no-regret strategy to reinstitute masks. It certainly doesn't harm, and it might provide some additional protection. I'm not going to question what LA has done. I do think the politics of masks have made the world much more complicated than it needs to be. And, you know, there's this sort of equation of masks, if you will, to government interference in our lives and resentment, and it's polarized and politicized. So I would be surprised with where we are now. I mean, Colorado is ebbing up a bit in its infections over the last several weeks, but we're not at the kind of serious point, I think, that might lead to thinking again about a mask mandate.
I'm a grandfather of three grandsons. My youngest is 9 and a half, and of course he hasn't been vaccinated yet. The other two have. School is just around the corner, starting soon. Should I be concerned?
I, you know, certainly concerned about what are the consequences of school reopening. And that's going to bring kids together, mixing, and of course with adults. To your question, should you be concerned because you know your grandchildren will be in contact with others, and at the moment, hopefully that will change soon enough, they're not vaccinated? Yeah, I think you have to add concern. But if you're vaccinated yourself and you take the precaution of having the children wear masks, I think that's the best you can do. And you do have that protection afforded by the vaccination. So, I mean, I think, you know, it's not time to stop seeing the grandkids. We'll have a bit of a transition here as we await vaccines for the school-aged children. But we're probably not going to have these vaccines. Those are not going to come along until probably December, January, at the earliest.
Dr. Jonathan Sammet, thank you so much for being part of CityCast Denver.
Well, happy to talk with you, Donnie.
That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell a friend about us? I'm Donnie Betts. Thanks for listening.
You just heard an excerpt from CityCast Denver, the local Denver daily news podcast. Learn more about subscribing to the podcast at denver.citycast.fm or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that does it for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Jamie Sudler, Hannah Lee Myers, Donnie L. Betts, and the crew of CityCast Denver. Do you have some feedback or recommendations for us? You can sends us some listener comments at 303-447-9911. Again, that's 303-447-9911. Leave us a voicemail. We play the messages back on Tuesday mornings at 8:25.